You're listening to a story from Work in Progress, a show about the meaning and identity we find in work. From Slack, I'm Dan Meisner.
Writers often recount the agony of their first novel. Roz Morris had this one idea for a book, but making that leap to write a first novel was complicated.
I had the sense that if I attempted anything like a novel, I was kind of setting myself up for something I wasn't really equipped for, wasn't really allowed to do.
Roz had this idea to blend genres. It would be part sci-fi, part romance, and the plot was very ambitious. Instead of a character going back in time, they would be going forward into the future, but then back again to meet themselves. But when she wrote to publishers, her worst fears were confirmed.
And they were sending me quite detailed feedback saying, you've got a really interesting mind, but you like to put together things that don't work in the conventional marketing boxes that we need in publishing.
Conventional marketing books, it's not the sexiest term. It means genres that are proven successes, like mysteries and romance, but Roz knows all about what sells in the book world. That's because she's sold over 4 million copies as a best-selling writer. Yeah, you've heard that right. She sold over 4 million books. The problem is no one knows this. She's one of the publishing world's best-kept secrets. You see, Roz is a ghostwriter.
Well, I can't name any names. I can't give too many details, but I got a contract to ghostwrite a book for someone who's quite a big name, and those books went on to sell in the millions. I wrote quite a few of them.
The ghostwriting market is huge. Memoirs never seem to go out of style. And then there's fiction. A lot of people think that they have a book in them, and publishers encourage this from celebrities.
Think of all the celebrity novels that are out there. Just think for a moment, how could they have learned to write fiction as well as the other things they already do?
Early on in her career, Roz received her first ghostwriting opportunity.
Well, it was quite funny. My husband had a book contract, and he wrote this book for the publisher, and then they changed their mind about what they wanted. And he said to me, I know you could write this book. So I wrote the book, sent it off, expected I would be discovered. And the publisher said, oh, that's great. That's exactly what we needed. And then we revealed that I'd written it. And they said, oh, it doesn't matter because we just got what we needed.
After that, Roz's career took off.
I do remember I finished one ghostwriting project in the morning and started another in the afternoon. But one year I wrote 4 books. Every sort of 6 months or so, a new one would come through the door. Yeah, I wrote that, put it on the shelf.
It's not easy creating popular work for others.
I was walking to the train station and I went past a bus stop and there was a giant poster for a book I'd written with someone else's photograph on it. But I stopped and I thought, I had that on my hard drive for months.
But Roz explains that having her name on the book cover isn't what matters.
Where I started feeling it was a problem was when I was wanting to get more headway with my own books, because literary agents and publishers seemed to want me to just write the same kind of thing as I'd already been writing successfully. Do I make the book commercial in the way they are saying will be the next time traveler's wife? Or do I stick to my guns and do it my way, which will be more satisfying for me in the long term? I had publishers saying, you could make it more like this or more like that. And I said, no, I want to do it my way. And it's important to me that I do. And those were the difficult decisions.
The decision to give in to the publishers or stick to her vision became Roz's central focus.
This is a chicken and egg situation, actually, because if I hadn't ghostwritten, I might well have been far more steered by what publishers wanted in order to get my books out there to an audience.
She didn't need a bestseller and she didn't need a huge paycheck. What she needed at this point was creative freedom. There was absolutely nothing to lose. Ros went full force on her writing. That same writing that publishers didn't think was very marketable.
Because I wanted to, I think Bob Geldof put it quite well, I wanted to sing my soul. I wanted to say what was really important to me, and I wanted to make something that was important to me, and something that impressed me in the way that the books I most loved did.
Ros is now writing her third book under her own name. These books may not have appeared on train station posters, but they did find a home with a niche audience.
What was really different was when I got letters from readers, and that suddenly, it was like I really had found my identity. I'd taken readers on this story, this journey, in a deep way, and I hoped they would like it. But then when they started writing back saying, yes, we did like it, you've sort of made something that I really enjoyed, and I'm going to read it again, I'm going to give this to my friend who's done this or that, and that was really special. And it was like I suddenly became more real to me.
For more stories about finding meaning and identity in work, subscribe to Work in Progress in iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Check us out at slack.com/podcast or tweet us @SlackStories. Thanks for listening.